Been doing a series in our Sunday school on, we call it just the Christian life, just some areas of the Christian life that we, I think, would be helpful if we'd strengthen. And we taught here a week or so ago on the subject of how to increase your faith. Last week we taught on the subject the importance of the church in a Christian's life. It's very, very important. There's so many things that's done through the church. God has designed it that way, and it's very, very important. Now, today, what I want to do is I want to try to share with you what to look for in a church. We've got the idea sometimes that just because a name is above a church, or it says church outside somewhere on a sign, that it's a church. That is not true. It must be the ground and the pillar of truth. Just because there's a sign out that calls itself a church does not mean it is a church. I'm talking about a true church. And we've got to understand. I could probably get Joe Asbury up and testify today. Not that he gets into bad churches, but what I'm saying is there's all kinds of different churches. And some of them are not scriptural churches. So we may need to make sure that we understand that there's something very special about the church. And it needs to be what the Bible says. The kind of church, it needs to be that exactly what the Word of God says that it should be. So we find in Acts, the second chapter, verses 46 and 47, he says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Once again, we might just mention the fact that, you know, and we know that this is not always true. We know that there's sometimes there's people in churches that are not saved. But the plan of God was to add to the church those who were saved. That's God's plan. You don't add the lost to the church because they have no life within. Now, that may happen sometimes, but I'm just simply saying it's God's plan for the people who come to join a church to be saved. That's it. They're God's children, you see. And we kind of take for granted sometimes that all churches are alike, but they're not alike. Definitely not alike. Now, what I'm going to say is even a pastor that's in a church, different pastors in the church do things different. And that's perfectly all right, as long as it's not contrary to the Scripture. What we're talking about today is, though, there's certain things scripturally that a church must be. You go into any church and you'll find that church some way, in some manner, takes on the personality and the way of the pastor. Because the pastor is leading. That's the way it is. And there, again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it's supposed to be. You've heard me say before, somebody else's church is none of my business. I'm not the pastor. I'm pastor here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, if they was teaching unscriptural, something unscriptural about Christ or thing, I still probably couldn't go do anything about it, but I mean, I could make mention of the matter that they need to teach who Christ is and the Word of God, you see. But there's pastors all over this country, and every one of us are different. And in our church services, we do things just a little bit different. That's the way it is. Long as it's not unscriptural, then we're okay. Amen? But what I'm going to be talking about today is that we must understand there's some certain scriptural precepts in the Bible that must be in the church because Jesus has said they must be. We just can't do anything we want to do or believe anything we want to believe. We must do what the Word of God says. We must be what the Word of God is. See, we must do that. You understand what I'm saying? So there's certain things that we must look for in a church. And so we're going to try to cover some of those this morning. First of all, it must be scriptural in its government. And when I say that, what I'm saying is this. There is one head of the church. The Bible tells us this. There's one head. And that is Christ. He must be the head of the church. I want you to go with me over to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And I want to read to you verses 23 and verse 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, the Bible makes it very clear. There is one head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. We can never, ever forget that. I know we have a person whom God has placed over the church to run the church, to lead the church, but I am not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. God places a pastor in the place of a position to lead the church and to guide the church and to be an authority in the church. But I want you to know, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We must never, ever forget that. And we need to, when we're looking around at churches, we need to be sure that the pastor and everyone in the church understands that Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. And how does Jesus tell us what we're supposed to do in the church? Does he come down and with a loud voice say, do this, do that, do that? No. No, he leads through the pastor, but it must be through the Bible. It must be according to the Bible. Because see, that's the way Jesus trains his leads his church. You see, he's not here in just in person to do it, but he is the head. We submit ourselves to him completely and fully, you see. And so we need to remember, Jesus Christ is the head. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. It's what the Bible says. Do we agree with that? Yes. The Bible says so, you see. So we believe that. Now let me say to you, nature itself will prove to us that anything with two heads is a monstrosity. Amen? That's why, and just let me share with you, that's why God put a man in the head of the family. There's not two heads in the family, there's one head in the family. I mean, you agree with that? Why? It would be a monstrosity if there was two heads in the family. No, 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 there's one head in the family. There's one head in the church. The one that I'm talking about, the physical head. There's the pastor in the church. There's one head if you've got a business. Let me say to you, if you have a business, you ought not to have join in with somebody and have two heads in a business. Somebody ought to have the ultimate say. I've told my sons this. I've told David this, and he has a business down there. I said, you know, you must be the ultimate head, or somebody must be, because there's only one head. Okay? You see, it's a monstrosity if there's not just one head. Amen? It's wrong, you see. So we need to understand that. Now, the reason I mentioned that is, you see, the Catholic Church has given authority over to a person who completely dominates and leads even over Christ. And that's called the Pope. He's given more authority than the Bible is given. If you understand, if you have any understanding of the Catholic Church, you'd surprise yourself if you read what they really believe. You see, and the Pope has all authority, even over the Bible. See, tradition takes authority over the Word of God. You see, that's wrong. You see, Christ must be the head, and he teaches through the Word of God. He teaches us what we're supposed to do, and he must always be the head. If we don't be very careful, we'll have the same thing in some of these convention churches. You've got to be very careful. We run down the Catholics sometimes, but sometimes some of these convention churches, they have a convention that oversees the church. They determine when a pastor comes and when a pastor goes. They'll come along and they'll just say, well, it's time for him to move, and we're going to bring you in a new pastor, and this guy's going to go over here. That's wrong. That's not scriptural, you see. We're not supposed to have outside heads out here telling the church what to do. No, no, no. Each local church leads and serves God as that local church sees fit according to the Bible, you see. You can't have outside people coming in. No, we have one head, and that's Christ. Amen. Now he's it. So we need to understand that, you see. And so that's why I believe the only real scriptural type church is an independent church. We're independent Baptists. We're independent. There's no one else that has any say over this church except the pastor and the church itself decides what is to be done. When we build a building, I bring it to you. I don't spend money unless I get the okay and the backing of the church people. Never done that. Because when you get into physical things, I need to come and say to you, you know, I believe we need a new building. That's what I did back here. And we led in that direction. The church said, yes, we do. We need to do that. And they voted to spend the money for it. Amen. That's proper. Now, when it gets into the spiritual leadership, I'm the one supposed to lead. I'm supposed to lead that. I don't come and ask you about the spiritual leadership. I decide that, you see. It's my place to do that. But we don't want anybody coming in. I'm not going to go down the road here at one of these churches and say, listen, you all do this or you all do that. That's not my business. Amen. It's not my business. And I'm just saying to you, no. It's my business right here. It's your business right here in this church, you see. So it's important we understand that. You say, well, Brother Ross, I already knew that. I know. I'm just trying to reinforce it, trying to help you to understand who our head is. Amen. And we got to depend on him. See, we've got to. We need him everywhere. That's why I pray of a morning here. We go to Sunday school classes. We need him to help us in our Sunday school classes. We need him in every area of our church to help us, you see. And we must look to him for that help. So we don't, we're not controlled by some other kind of organization or something like that. And let me say to you, there is a lot of them that are. And it's not scriptural to be that. So we need to be independent. You see, of other authorities. Not only that, in Acts, the second chapter, I think I turned you from there, but let's go back to Acts. Second chapter of Acts, and again, I just want to read verse 41 and 42. Says, and then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. We find here he talks about the apostles' doctrine. In other words, and we'll cover this on down in a few minutes, but let me say to you, there is one guidebook we have, and it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's why in the book of Acts, we ought to look in the book of Acts and see how they did the church there. As I said, we all lead in a little different way. I can't find in the Bible it says, now you come at 9:30 and you have Sunday school. And then you have church service at 10:30. That's not in the Bible. What we do is we use common sense. We use what God leads us to do. It's worked for years. It's been a good program. Sunday school is a great program. You know, began many, many years ago. But you didn't get in the Bible and say there you must have a Sunday school. But you get in the Bible and you say you must teach the Word of God. You see, whether that's in the Sunday school program or however it's done. So again, you follow the apostles' doctrine. You do what is right and proper that would glorify and honor God Almighty, you see. And so let me again use, and I don't think you'll mind, but let me use the Catholic Church once again as a illustration. You see, they take traditions of men and they put them over the Bible. Now, folks, there's nothing has any more any authority over the Bible. You understand that? You know, if you're looking for you look for a church, what are you going to do? Well, I want a church that believes the Bible, that believes the Word of God. You see, that's the kind of church I want. See, I don't want it run by some tradition of men somewhere. No, we want it run according to the Bible, you see. That's very, very important that a church believes the Bible. And as I mentioned earlier, there's even some of your denominations and some of them has followed the teachings of their leaders instead of the Bible. You've all heard of Martin Luther in the Reformation. Martin Luther came out of the Catholic Church, but he still carried some of the traditions of the Catholic Church with him. He still sprinkled babies. So what I'm saying is Martin Luther right in sprinkling babies? Of course not. So I'm just simply saying to you, no matter who it is, we must remember the Bible is our authority. Amen? Not some person, not some organization, but the Bible is our authority. And that's the kind of thing we ought to look for in a church, a place where they believe the Bible. You see, and believe it's the guidebook for us, you see. And then, of course, you're going to say, well, Brother Ross, What kind of Bible are we talking about? There's all kinds of so-called Bibles out there. I just want to tell you something. You get a hold of the King James Version of the Bible, and you stick with it. You just stick with it. And, oh, I've heard so many silly things. I hear them on a regular basis. Well, Brother Ross, when I read that, you see, I don't understand it. I got to get it in words. It's better for me to understand how foolish. You see, the natural man doesn't understand the Bible, the Word of God. He can't, because it's spiritually discerned. He can't understand it. But if you'll just keep reading the Bible, God will open up to you the truths as you have need of those truths. He will do that, you see. It's not the problem is not in that the language is bad. The problem is heart needs to open up to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit begin to teach us, you see. So I'm just simply saying to you, I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard, you know what, any of these translations out here, they're just like any of the Bibles, you know, and it's just that you just choose whatever one's personally better for you. You just choose. Oh, no. You want to make sure you have the Bible, the Word of God, you see. And I've heard people even tell me that the Bible, you know, is not 100% true, and you know, and so you just try to get the one that's best. No. God has left us in the English language. He's left us the King James Version of the Bible. It's not a King James Version. It's the King James Bible. And I'm just going to say to you, it's God's Word left for us. Just stick with it. And you'll be made fun of. You'll probably be laughed at. You'll probably all kinds of things. Don't pay attention to them whatsoever. Just keep studying the Word of God. Just keep doing it. Pay no attention to any of these perversions that are around. Just stick with the Bible. Amen. You know, there's the reversed vision. You've heard of that. Revised vision. Reversed vision is what it is. But there's a lot of things like that. Just stick with the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, and you'll be all right. Amen? Just do that. So what I'm saying to you, the Bible has to be and must be believed in the church. It's authority in the church. You believe that? You believe it's what the Bible says? Amen? The Word of God. King James Version, King James Bible, amen. See, you believe that, and that's why you're in a church like this, because you believe that. See, that's what we believe, it's what your pastor believes, and we believe that here, you see. So in other words, it's not a matter of choosing some versions, it's a matter of choosing the Bible or some type of satanic imitation. We choose the Bible, the Word of God, and this is it. Just stick with it. Amen. Just stick with it. Don't make any difference what anybody says. Let them laugh. Let them do whatever they want. Just stick with it. You see, because any time somebody has taken out of the Word of God things that ought to be in there, there's a real problem. You don't remove things from the Bible. You don't add things to them. No. You don't take the blood out. You don't take the virgin birth out. You don't do that. No. You're messing around with God's Word. See, so you just stick with the Bible, the Word of God. Okay? Okay, and then, of course, over in 2 Timothy. Let's go over there. Second Timothy, the 3rd chapter. He lists some things here in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, what he's saying here to us is this. The church ought to be a place where the Bible is preached. What for? Well, God says in this portion of Scripture, he has a reason for the Word of God being preached. The Word of God does for us some wonderful things. What does it do? It gives us the doctrine that we believe. It's profitable for doctrine. What do you believe? If I would ask you today, what do you believe? Well, why do you believe that? Where do you get what you believe? Well, you get it from the Bible. Amen? If you don't get it from the Bible, if it's not taught in the Bible, then in a church don't teach it in the Bible. There, you know, you don't want to be around that church. You see, because that's what God does here. He teaches us our doctrine. Where does our doctrine come from? From the Bible. And he says also for reproof. Folks, in all seriousness, I get reproved all the time. I stand up here and preach, but I'm in my study back there, and I get in the Word of God, and the Word of God reproves me. It reproves me. And it ought to reprove you. Don't get mad when you're reproved with the Bible, the Word of God. Be glad. Be glad God cares enough about reproving us. You see, and God does that to every single one of us. Why? How do you know that? Because that's what the Bible does. God said it did. Bible said, you know, God said it is profitable for doctrine, but for reproof. He reproves us, you see. And then also, you notice there, he says, for correction. Folks, look, do you ever need corrected? I'm not even just talking about in your life. I'm talking about in your beliefs. Has there ever been things in your belief that you needed corrected in? I remember Mrs. Clara Leishan. You all remember Clara. And for years, she used to believe that you could lose your salvation. And she said, I want to tell you something. She said, I heard preaching and I read the Word of God. And she said, I come to the place where I realized I was wrong. I was corrected. Folks, we need corrected. That's what the Bible do. If you get into the Bible and study the Bible, it'll correct you. Amen? Well, that's what it's designed to do. That's not bad. That's good. And then also, he said, he'll give you instructions in righteousness. It'll teach you how to live. Amen? Sure. It'll instruct us in righteousness. How do we live? Do we just live the way we used to live? No, no, no. He gives us instruction in righteousness through the Bible. You see, and so that's why it's so important, folks, that the Bible be preached. Amen? Bible be taught, you see. We got Sunday school classes this morning scattered out all over this building. And teachers are standing up with their Bibles. And they're teaching the Bible, the Word of God this morning. Isn't that exciting? Just a little while here, there'll be John Reiser go down there. He'll go out to Children's Church and our other Children's Church, Stephanie Walton, go down here in Children's Church. And Laura has got our little two-year-olds down there. She teaches them some things about the Bible. I'm saying they'll teach the Bible this morning. Sure you will. You'll teach the Bible. That's the only thing we got to teach. Amen. And it helped these little ones that know Christ to grow. Get better for God. Amen. The ones that don't, we teach them how to be saved. You see, I'm just simply saying to you folks, it's important what a church is doing. You see, we can just say, well, this church is okay. Well, is it okay scripturally? Is it okay? Is it doing what the Bible says to do as a church? We've got to understand that. Amen. We need to know what's going on. And then, of course, we find that if you believe the Bible, and I'm sure you do, we know something. We don't have any trouble with it. We looking and saying, you know, there's a hell. Why do you believe there's a hell? Because the Bible says so. Not a matter of this preacher saying so. I believe there's a hell because the Bible says there is. You see that? And there's multitudes of cults out there. In fact, most cults, I would say, I don't know if there's any cults that believe in hell. I don't think there is. But anyway, I guess I don't want to make a blanket statement, but I don't think there is. They don't believe in hell. Well, they don't believe the Bible. Amen? No, no. You see, if you believe the Bible, you know there's a hell. You know there's a heaven. You know that Jesus is coming back. You know he's coming back to reign for 1,000 wonderful years. You know there's a heaven to look forward to. You know there's a judgment seat of Christ one of these days. I preached a sermon one time. Down through life, keep your eye on the judgment. You say, well, Brother Ross, what do you mean? Well, keep your eye on the judgment seat of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, we're all going to stand there as you live your life. Remember, we're going to stand there. Amen? Sure. So, you know, that's why we teach these things. You see, we believe the Bible. We believe what God says in His Word. So we need to, you know, follow the Word of God. So anyway, if you believe the Bible, you'll believe these things, you see. You won't have any trouble with them whatsoever because that's what the Bible teaches. But there's a lot of places that don't. You understand? There's just a lot of places that doesn't believe that. All right. Not only that, the ordinance of the church is very important. God has given us two ordinances. One of them is the Lord's Supper, and the other one is baptism. Now, that's the only two ordinances that God has given the church. We believe in that. We believe in having the Lord's Supper as we do it. We do it in remembrance of Him as oft as you do it, you see. And we do it once a month. Other places do it more. Other places do it less than that. But we do it once a month.
And we do it because God has commanded us to do that. Not only that, we can get people saved. We get them into the baptistry. Brother Ross, why do you get them in the baptistry? Because God said to. That's an ordinance of the church. We're supposed to baptize them once you get them saved. You're supposed to get baptized. Amen. There's going to be some folk baptized this morning. Isn't that wonderful? It's just, it's great. It's good. And we do that because it's right. It's an ordinance, you see, of the church. And let me say to you in that, there's only one mode of baptism that is correct, and that is immersion. Amen. Jesus, when he was baptized, the Bible says he came straightway up out of the water. Now, it's pretty hard to come up out of the water if you're not in it. Amen. He just come right up out of it. Amen. So that's the way you do. You don't sprinkle. Oh, you don't sprinkle. Get a little cup up here and bring people up here and sprinkle them. No, that's not baptism. Baptism is immersion. So does the church immerse. Amen. You just, you know, and two, are they saved before you immerse them? You see, do they? I was just told here this week about this family over in Himera, and they was a family that said that they had all got baptized, and so when they began to question about how they'd got baptized, they said, well, had an uncle or somebody that was a pastor over in West Terre Haute, and he was in a church over there, and he just called them up one day and he said, you know, you folk need to get baptized. You need to get this dang thing done. And so the mom, the dad, and the children all went over there. And he just took them and baptized them. And they even admitted themselves that they didn't know for sure they were saved or anything like that. And in fact, one of the little girls that's how it started, one of the little girls got saved here in our youth revival. And now mama says, well, I don't know if I saved or not. I just did it because they told me I ought to do it. Well, as you know, that's not the way you get baptized. You get baptized because you've believed. You're truly a believer. That's why you get baptized. It won't do you any good. You've heard my story, and I'm not going to give it all to you. But that's what I did. I got baptized as a young man, but I wasn't saved. Understand? I wasn't saved. I needed to get saved, and then I got baptized, scripturally baptized, you see. So baptism is very, very, very important, you see. In fact, over in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, let me just read this to you because I'm sure you already know it, but it'd be good to kind of cover it. Acts 8th chapter, 36th verse, says, and as they went on their way, of course, this is the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest in all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you're familiar with that portion of Scripture, but did you notice the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to get baptized? He desired to get baptized. He said, what hinders me? He said, here's a body of water. Why can't I just get baptized? And he said, if you believeth with all thy heart. In other words, belief comes before baptism. Amen? Won't do you any good. You see, that's what I done. I got baptized before I believed. Won't do you any good to get baptized if you don't believe. If you do then believe, you need to get baptized. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch did. He followed the Lord in baptism. Why? Because he believed. You see. And then he could be baptized. And then, of course, it tells that Philip took him and baptized him. All right. And then, of course, if we're going to look for a church, we've got to be sure that it has the scriptural purpose for a church. I'm going to say this, and I believe that you'll agree with this in principle. The church is a wonderful place to have fellowship, to do things in fellowship. And, you know, we have some get-togethers sometime. We'll have some food out there, and we'll eat together and do things like that. But that's not the purpose of the church. That's not the real purpose of the church. Now, we do things like that for fellowship of God's people. I think they did that in the book of Acts, the second chapter. They ate together. I think that is right. It's proper. It's good. But that's not the purpose of the church. And you need to, in a church, you need to find out what the purpose of the church is. It's for the winning of souls. Now, folks, it's for winning of souls to Christ. If that purpose isn't being realized, then we got a real problem. Amen? That's the purpose of the church. That's why we exist. Now, we have another purpose too, but that's why we exist. Amen. We must get people saved. You see, churches, there's churches across this land that don't see anybody saved in a whole year. I say to them, they're functioning, they're not doing what they're supposed to do and functioning as a church. For getting people saved is the function of the church. Amen? Sure. You see, Brother Ross, there's a lot of folk out there don't want it. I know all that, but you still go, you still preach, you still teach, you still get people saved. But we ought to be out busy witnessing so the opportunity for people to be saved happens every week. Opportunity for them too. And I'll tell you another thing I think is very revealing in today's world. I know you can be a church and maybe do some good work as a church, but I want to tell you something. One of the first things I would look for if I was looking for a church would be some buses. No, I'm serious. That's first one of the first things I'd look for. I'd say, do they believe in outreach? I'd look and see if there's any buses parked there. I'd find out if they had any bus routes. Why? Because I'll tell you what, when you got buses, you're out there reaching young people for Christ. You're getting them into the house of God. And if a church don't have money for some outreaches like that to get young people in our area into the church, we're missing the whole thing. I mean, would you want to support a church that didn't have any outlets or outreaches for getting people into the house of God so they get saved? See? You understand what I'm saying? Well, listen, you need to understand something. We need to have outreach. We need to go out there and get people. That's the purpose of the church. Now, let me tell you one other thing I would look at, and this is what I look at when I go into churches. I don't get to do that very often, but when I do, one of the first things I look for is this. I look at the children, and I look at the teenagers. That's what I look at. And I see how they're dressed. I see how they behave themselves. I see what kind of a spirit they have. And he'll tell you gobs about a church. You understand? Oh, yes. See, there's a lot of things. Look at people today being so deceived. They'll just go somewhere where it's easy to visit and easy to be there because they're not required of anything. Shame on them. You need to find it. You know, you need to go to a church that requires something of you. Requires some godly living. And you can see that through the young people and through the children and through the young people. You look at them. You watch them. I'm talking about as a whole. You don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as a whole. Are they growing? Are they learning? Are they behaving themselves? Are they acting like good Christian young people? See, tells a lot about a church. Amen? Sure. Those are the things you need to read. You need to realize, see, would I want to bring my family into a church that wasn't teaching my children anything? Is that where I would want my children to grow up at? I wouldn't. I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about it. But boy, I'd want my children in a place where they're being taught the Word of God. They're being having godly examples around them. People in the church setting godly examples for them. You see, because, listen, folks, children are not perfect. Children's got to grow. They got to grow. They got to learn. You know, don't look around some of these young people around here and say, boy, they done a stupid thing. You know, probably did. Probably not as half as stupid as we did. But we do stupid things too. And these young kids, once in a while, is going to pull some boners. That's what it's all about. We teach them, we train them, we help them. We set a good example for them, you see. I believe that in a church. I believe we need to be good examples. I'll tell you what, I've got the older class, and I'm going to tell you, you've got a responsibility. I've got a responsibility to set some examples for these young people around here. We don't look at the young people and say, boy, you ought to be everything. Boy, thank God, you're everything. You're doing this, you're doing that. Well, how about us? How about us? We're the ones supposed to set the example. God says, told the older women, you're supposed to teach the younger women. We men are supposed to set examples for the young men. Yes, we are. Amen? So don't just always look to the youth and expect them to be everything in a church. We ought to be the ones that are leading and setting examples so that they can have something to follow and grow up in. Amen? You see? So if I was looking for a church, I'd look for one that taught the Bible, taught the Word of God, you see. And I'd look for one that, like I say, it have some kind of outreach, maybe some buses that was running out, going out and getting people, bringing them into the house of God. If we're not doing that, what are we doing? What do we exist for? We just come? I mean, is that why we exist? No, no, no. God says the very purpose for us is to lead people to Christ, teach them how to live. Amen? Isn't that true? Sure, you see. So that's the kind of church we'd want to look for. And then, of course, I don't have much time left, but another thing is I'd want to see to it is that we were talking here about the youth and talking about the adults, but I'd want to make sure they was practicing some things, scripturally practicing some things, that they would be separation in that church. I wouldn't want to be in a church where there was not separation from the world. Wouldn't want to be in it. The Bible, the Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. I want to be in a place where women dress like women. I want to be in a place where they set the good example of godliness. And I want to be in a place where men set the example and look like men. Amen? And act like men. Amen? That's the kind of place we want to be in. Amen? So if you're looking for a church, what I'm saying is, that's what I'd look for. I'd find that kind of a church, a good place. And boy, that's important, folks. Don't just because there's a sign on a door. You better look around. You better look around the worldliness and all of those kind of things that goes on in that church. Make sure that's what you really want to see your family grow up in. All right? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your wonderful love for us and kindness to us. And you help us, Father, to be what we should be. In Jesus' name.